Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's...
Give a bit of context. And...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on Christian Sentinel Radio, which is on Blog Talk Radio. And that's the new network of Jackie Elnor. And we're also heard on Eternity Ready Radio Network. And we have our YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio, which I hope to update. And I hope to learn how to make better videos. I like production. I like production, but it's, you have to know all these little tricks of the trade, and I guess you really need a class, which is the best thing. If I could take an online class, I guess, to learn how to make better videos, because I see people on YouTube, and who knows how much longer they're going to let us on YouTube, because they're censoring everybody, the Gestapo out there, the truth police, and kicking people off Facebook. A friend of mine the other day, she told me that they kicked her off Facebook. Now, you know, what was she doing? What was she doing on Facebook that was so horrible that they kicked her off? They kicked off the people that were with the young man that was murdered a few days ago, a Trump supporter, that they were out there. And it's probably better for them to stay home and not to go and tangle with these mobs. And anyway, this young man was murdered. And I can't remember the exact name of his organization, Prayer People or something like that. Anyway, they kicked them off of Facebook. And they allow Antifa and these other groups, they allow them to be on. Oh, please. I don't know how much longer people are going to even want to stay on Facebook, because they spy on you. They collect information whenever you go to their site, and if you don't log out, if you stay logged into Facebook and then you go searching to other sites, they track you, and then you'll see ads popping up from different sites that you visited. They're trying to sell you something. So anyway, probably in the not too distant future, we won't be using Facebook anymore, but then you have Google, who wants to rule the world by censoring people who could say this and who could say that. And if you don't follow the New World Order or the Brave New World that they're trying to create, they'll censor you. So who knows? I don't know if we're going to have our own internet. Or, I don't know. Because if certain people get elected, and they already tried to turn the internet over to the United Nations when Obama was president, I think, if I have my facts straight. So we don't need world government controlling the internet, which is probably going to happen. Who knows when, though? Who knows what's going to happen? It's the craziest thing I ever saw. I never saw so much propaganda and so much lying, outright lying, coming from the news media. And so don't just take, when somebody reports something on the news, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true, especially if it's hearsay, because anybody could say anything about you. And unless they have audio recordings, I wouldn't pay much attention to eyewitness testimony, and because people have their own views. They have slanted views, and they try to control the narrative. And they do a pretty good job of it, because they've managed to convince probably half of the country with their propaganda and their narratives without really coming up with concrete proof about what people say. So I know the importance of trying to be credible when we do reporting, especially here. And if we're talking about somebody and we're saying they said this and they said that, we always provide the audio. We try in every instance to provide the audio of what they said in context, and not just take a sound bite and turn it into something. Like when they took a sound bite of President Trump saying that the people in Charlottesville, there was good people on each side, insinuating that he was saying that the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis were good people. Well, he didn't say that. If you look at the whole video of what he said in context, he disavowed the white supremacists. And so, but the news media takes the sound bite and then they run with it. And then you hear people like Joe Biden, he's so indignant that Trump said white supremacists were good people. Well, he didn't say that. And they know he didn't say that. But they try to play on people's biases or people's ignorance, really, because most people don't, when they read something or they hear something on the news, they don't take the time to go and research it. Most people don't do research. So they get their daily dose of whatever, and then they say, oh, it must be true because I heard it on Fox or I heard it on CNN. Well, I'm not one of those people that I just believe everything I hear. I like to check things out, and I like to get the rest of the story, as they say. So it's very frustrating when you hear people repeating things and you know it's not true. And so eventually that's what's going to happen to church when we really start getting persecuted and they twist everything that we say, and it'll be harder and harder to get the truth out. Because you even, a friend of mine told me the other day that I was basically being censored by a certain ministry. So, you know, everybody has their little pet doctrine or their little pet teaching, which it might not be true. And usually you get the biggest fallout or the biggest pushback on the tithing teachings. And I feel confident that I've done enough studying and I've done enough research into the whole tithing thing. And you can prove it with scripture that tithing was never money. The church is not the storehouse, and the pastor doesn't have any right to collect 10% of people's income. It's not biblical. Giving is free will, of your own free will. And so you see that because of this false teaching, a lot of these men and women have become rich. And then when they get too rich, they start losing any kind of walk that they had with the Lord, if they ever did have any kind of a walk with the Lord. But the more they accumulate, and the more they realize their power to manipulate people to give money, and then they start building their little kingdoms, and they'll do anything to keep their kingdoms going. And I mean anything. I wouldn't put anything past these people, these false prophets and these false teachers, and then these false political people. Oh, sure. I'm like, where did these people come from? It's like they stepped right up out of the pit. And I'm looking at the television, and I think I'm looking at Antichrist Jr. in some of these people. Just one lie after another, one lie after another. And they're so indignant about this and indignant about that, but they don't mind. Take, for instance, Governor Cuomo in New York. He's so indignant about this and indignant about that. But he was one of the people that was applauding. They were applauding the fact that in New York, they passed some kind of a law where babies could be killed up to 9 months and even after. They could be born and left to die. And these people were applauding. So they don't have any right to tell people about morals. And then they don't have police protection. They were burning down New York City and destroying multiple millions of dollars worth of property. And the governor wants to, they don't have their restaurants open in New York. And of course, in New York City, they're famous for places to eat and entertainment, museums, Broadway, all kinds of things that have basically shut down for now. But so they were only allowing people to eat outside, and now they want to start allowing people to eat inside. But they want 4,000 police. They want to hire, now imagine this, they want to hire 4,000 police to check on the restaurants to make sure that people are wearing masks and they're social distancing and that the restaurant owners are following the rules. When they didn't care, when there was these hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people out in the streets rioting, nobody was, who was policing them and allowing them to run around without masks and spitting in people's faces and whatever? I tell you, the world's going crazy. The world's going crazy. And it's about power. It's about power and control. Oh, I'm telling you. I can't. Lord Jesus, please help. Help. If the Lord doesn't help us, we are going to go through. We are going to go through some stuff. We think that we're going through stuff now, and we are. The twilight zone that we're living in for the most part. And wait. Just wait and see what happens in the future. Oh, I can't believe I see the world now how it is. And I see people, they'd rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. And it's the same thing in the church. It's the same thing in the church. They would rather believe the lie for the most part than believe the truth. So I'm stunned, really. I'm stunned by it all. I'm stunned by it all. I can't believe that. I'm looking at the television last night, and I'm flipping through these so-called Christian stations that we probably have about 10 of them, or maybe more, on the satellite network. And so I see Benny Hinn with he's got this Love World channel with some Pastor Chris. I don't know if he's from England or where he's from, this guy, Chris. And what are they doing? What are they doing? He's got that Dan guy and then some other guy. Oh, and they're doing the $1,000 thing. Telling people that they give $1,000, break the back of poverty with $1,000. Oh, please. And then they saying that God told me this morning when I was in my kitchen that he was going to tell the people that if they would give tonight, he was going to break the back of poverty. What God are they talking about? Because I don't see any of that in the Gospels. None of that. I don't see any of that in the Gospels. And they're talking about your God, Satan, your father. And then they're pretending they're so holy and they're kneeling down and they're crying over the prayer requests and over the seeds that were sown. And then the false prophet says, oh, if you send in your money, call, please call the line right now. And I'm going to go into the prayer room where the phones are, and I'm going to lay hands on every request that comes in. Oh, run for your life. That's what I have to say. Run for your life from these people. They're evil. Evil. Just like the politicians, they want to tell you, oh, we'll care for you. We care about you. And then these false prophets and false teachers do, we love you so much and we care about you. No, they don't love you. If they loved you, they would tell you the truth and stop trying to rip you off. Oh, God help us. It's awful. Awful. But anyway. Also, we have our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. Yeah, they do a pretty good job. They do a pretty good job. But I wonder what's going to happen, because I don't think they're going to get any more of this payroll protection money like they were all getting. They were getting bailouts from the government, which really the church has no business getting bailouts from the government, because they don't pay taxes to begin with. So, but they were getting bailouts from the government, which supposedly they don't have to pay these loans back. Some of these organizations like Joel Osteen, I don't know if Joel Osteen took any money, maybe, I'm not sure, but I know Robert Jeffers did, I know Jim Baker did, I know Paula White did, and there was quite a few of these ministries, so-called, I'm going to say, because I don't know if most of them are ministries. They're mainly money-gathering places. Just drop your money off over here so that I can fulfill my vision. And anyway, yeah, I think Jim Baker got $1 million or maybe more. Maybe he got more than that. I know Paula White got anywhere from $130,000 to $330,000. But she claims, if you hear Paula tell it, when she preaches, she says, we don't have any debts. We've been able to pay all our staff here, but she fails to mention that she got this money from, she likes you to believe that God is just blessing her, but she fails to mention the fact that she got the money from the government. And yeah, John MacArthur got money. Yeah, they don't like to tell you where they don't like to brag about the fact that they're getting this PPP money. And then they're also, like you see Jim Baker now, he's talking about how he's feeding the poor. He is feeding the poor. And he shows you these videos of the bar. They become a distribution center as well for feeding the poor. So, and he's saying, look, we're getting all this food. But you need to tell the whole truth. Paula White does this too. She brags about millions of pounds of food, and she shows on her website the cars lining up, and she shows herself holding these boxes of food and putting them in people's trunks. What she fails to mention, and what Jim Baker fails to mention, is the food is being donated to them. So for the most part, they're getting all this food for free. They just have to distribute it, and they have to have freezers and refrigerators to keep it. So tell the truth. Just tell the truth, okay? Don't make people think that all of a sudden you've become this wonderful charity and you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions, on buying food for the poor when you're not. You're not. It's being donated for the most part by Second Harvest. And you can go online and check these 990 finders if you wanted to get information about these nonprofits and how they spend their money. And so, yeah, they're not, they get these grants and also this Feeding America, which they take in millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they buy the food and then they donate the food to other nonprofits for distribution. So I can't believe it when I see them coming out, like Jim Baker Reeves coming out with his, look at us feeding the poor. Yeah, it's nice. It's wonderful to feed people. Yeah, it's terrific. It's a wonderful ministry. But don't mislead people just so you can get donations. So then people say, wow, I better give to that ministry to help them buy some food. Maybe they're buying some of it. I don't really know. That I don't know, but I do know because I've looked at some of the 990s from these food banks where I see the grants have gone to Paula White. She got $146,000, I think, in 2018 from Second Harvest, a grant of food. So that's how much food that they gave her for that particular year. And she's got a long list of other people that give her food. So Joan of Arc over there, Mother Teresa, stop your lying. It's just like one lie after another. But anything for that dollar, anything for that dollar. That's what they do. They lie. Even the other day, and probably next week I'll play some of this audio, but Paula White was at, they had these Evangelical for Trump meetings, and of course Paula is there pretending she's an evangelical, and she makes a statement when she's in Las Vegas. Yeah, and people have called me a prosperity preacher. Oh, imagine that people have called her a prosperity preacher. Oh dear, how did that ever happen? And then she says, and somebody called me a heretic, and I had to go on CNN and say, I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, you are a heretic. That's why people call you a heretic. You are a heretic. If you tell people that Jesus says you have to give $1,000 in order to get miracles, you're a heretic. You're a heretic. So don't cry. And oh, she goes on and on about what people say about her. And I couldn't believe it. It was like one lie after another. Stop your lying. Stop lying. Anybody could go on the internet and hear Paula White's videos and her audios, and they can hear her scamming people. The evidence is out there. As long as you put your services out for the public to see, they're going to see that. They're going to hear what you're saying. They're going to hear what you're teaching. So nobody's taking what you're saying out of context. Anyway, there was an interesting thing that Jackie posted on Facebook, and there's a flyer going around. And it says, to Antifa comrades, election day nears, comrades, prepare to defend your rights. On November 4th, don't forget to disguise yourself as patriots, Trump supporters, wear MAGA hats, use flags, 3% ER insignias, and convincing police uniform is even better. This way, police and patriots responding to us won't know who their enemies are, and onlookers and the media will think there are Trump supporters rioting, and it's harder to turn popular opinion against us. So, okay, I read this, I think yesterday or the day before. So I'm watching my local news, which I don't watch the local news that much. And so here's the news report I hear right after I read this. Listen to this.
protesters and counter-protesters continue to hold demonstrations throughout the city. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm Wendy Ryan.
And I'm Paula Gronin for Jamison. ABC Action News reporter McKenna King has been following this story for us. She tells us about the city's concerns over threats of violence. The Black Lives Matter group hopes will come out of all of this.
Organizers have been holding these protests periodically throughout the week. The Black Lives Matter postponed their protest tonight due to weather, but they say they'll be back at Newport Richey City Hall tomorrow. Protests in Newport Richey have been mostly peaceful.
There's been no violence, no burning, no looting, or anything like that.
That is the last few weeks as more and more counter-protesters started joining the Black Lives Matter group at City Hall.
Keeps rising until finally someone starts to lose their temper.
So far, Chief Kim Bogart says his police department has kept violence out, but the threats are rolling in.
But these hate groups coming out, sending us messages, talking about spraying us up, running us over.
In some instances, the Blue Lives Matter and the Trumpsters and the at least one or two of the motorcycle group have been even more antagonistic to the other side. But I can't say the other side is innocent.
Last weekend, the police department handed out several amplified sound citations and a trespassing ticket to Black Lives Matter activists. The counter-protester for covering his license tag and turned a video over to the state attorney's office, which showed a counter-protester displaying a gun.
We didn't invite this into our city. We didn't have any of these issues, none of these issues, until these tests began. And then it acted like a magnet. And you're against that.
Activist Marlo Jones says they're just looking for transparency and change.
And it's not just the body cams. It's also social programs. The west side of Newport Richey is suffering. The homeless situation is out of control. People need help.
Chief Bogart says he put in an order for body cams, but they're on back order right now due to high demand. But the city of Newport Richey says they're currently working on having an open discussion with Black Lives Matter organizers.
Yeah, so this is a small town. It's like a sleepy little Florida town. And all of a sudden, these protesters show up. So, yeah, they're going to be going. They're very well funded. They've taken in hundreds of millions of dollars. And so their new thing is to go into small towns and cause an uproar and pretend that they're Trump supporters or that they're right wingers or that they're motorcycle people. There might be some, I'm not saying that it's 100% that way, but of course, if they're handing out this flyer and this is what they've been planning anyway, it's suspect because why did they even bother coming to this little town? There's no trouble over there. Nobody's causing any problems. It's mostly elderly retired people that live there. So that's very interesting. So we can see, especially as this election day gets closer, we'll see in more and more unrest and these organized gangs of people that probably even the people that were there marching on this city, which are supposed to be there again tonight, they probably don't even live there. Like I said, it's like a sleepy little Florida town with nothing much happening over there and quiet. There's not a lot of crime. So it's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, if you are going to vote and if you do get a mail-in ballot or you get an absentee ballot, please hand deliver your ballot. You don't have to put it in the mail. You can call your supervisor of elections office, which our supervisor of election here in our town, they have a box outside that you can drop your ballot off outside their office and you can leave it there. And it's a locked box, but I'm going to bring mine inside and make sure I hand it to them. And otherwise you can vote in person, but I wouldn't take a chance of mailing your ballot in. I would hand deliver it to the office, call your local office and ask if you can drop it off. And then call before election day if you drop it off early and make sure that your vote got counted. And that's basically what the president was saying the other day. He wasn't telling people to vote twice. You can't vote twice. But he was telling people that if they went on election day and they found out their mail-in ballot wasn't there or it wasn't counted, that then they could vote in person and then their other one would be thrown out. if they match the names and the signatures, which you hope that they would do at these election offices, but you just don't know. I think there's just going to be so much chaos and upheaval, and they're going to just ratchet up the hate and the unrest until this thing is over. But God's going to have his way one way or the other. I don't know how things are going to turn out. We just don't know at this point, but we just have to trust God. What can we do? What can we do except pray that God will have his way, and he will. So we put it in the Lord's hands, but do your part and make sure your vote gets counted. Amen. So many interesting things have been going on. Oh, dear. I'm always amazed when I hear these people talking and I see these things that are happening to these so-called ministries. Oh, dear. Yeah, amen. Well, you're right, Brother Vince. Yeah, balloting opens the door to corruption. It does. It does. So you are better off to go vote in person if you can. And or otherwise, like I said, make sure you hand it in person. You hand it in. But, oh, and then Sister Shannon says, California are not opening any polling places. They are forcing the mail-in voting. Oh, my word. Well, you know what, Shannon? Ask your supervisor of elections. Call and ask that even if you are getting a ballot in the mail, if you can drop it off there and hand-deliver it. They might let you hand-deliver it, or they might have a box outside like they do here where I live. Just make sure you call them and ask them if you can hand deliver it beforehand, and then make sure that it got counted. Call again and make sure that your vote was counted. Right. We're going to have to be responsible for checking up on, we can't trust these election, these polling places and these election people. I think I had mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but there was a lady that showed on YouTube, and she showed that her brother was a Democrat and she's a Republican, and they both got ballots in the mail, and they looked at the barcode on the back of the envelope, and this is outside of the envelope, and hers had an R there for Republican. And her brother's had a D. So people that the mail people and whoever looks at the envelope knows it's either a Democrat or a Republican. Now, I'm not sure they do that in every state, but whatever state she was in, they did it. So, you know, if your mailman sees the D, he might, or if he sees the R or the D, he might throw the ballot out. Lord help us. Anyway, I was shocked, but I guess Todd White never ceases to shock me. Oh, dear. And I can't even play the whole statement that he said because it was so disgusting. And I can't believe that anybody would call themselves a pastor and Shannon, when you call, then let us know next week what they told you, okay? Let us know what they told you at your supervisor of elections in California, for all our listeners in California. And we'll be able to tell you anyway what her supervisor of elections told her about hand-delivering her mail-in ballot. Yeah. Anyway, I couldn't believe it. And I really think that for Todd White's own spiritual walk, and for the people that are attending his church, and I put that in quotes, that this man needs to sit down and be quiet. He really does, because I can't. If you want to go and listen to this disgusting sermon that he preached, and it's only a few minutes, I can't even play the whole clip, because I can't believe that any pastor would talk about these kind of things in a church setting. In the first place, we don't need to hear about your sex life in church. As far as telling people yes to flee fornication and to live a holy life, yes, those kind of things. But as far as the him bringing out things that he had no business bringing out to his congregation. And I don't know if they have young people. I don't know who was in the room when he was saying these things, as far as do they have children's church, or does he have teenagers, or anyway, I'm going to play a portion of this, and it's just a short 59-second clip. But anyway, you won't believe this, what came out of his mouth.
God, if he only knew me. If he only knew me. If he only desired to know me. I'm like, you think that, like, well, Lord, to be transparent, I got news for you. Nothing's hidden. He sits in the theater room of your soul and sees everything that goes across your screen, guy. Your whole pornography thing, you think like no one knows it? God's watching it with you. Watching it with you. God, if he only knew me. If he only knew me. If he only desired to know me. If he desired to know me. He's not mad. He just sees it. He sees it. He's not mad.
I'm going to play that again. Hear that again. Just in case you missed it.
God, if he only knew me. If he only knew me. If he only desired to know me. I'm like, you think that, like, well, Lord, to be transparent, I got news for you. Nothing's hidden. He sits in the theater room of your soul and sees everything that goes across your screen, guy. Your whole pornography thing, you think like no one knows it? God's watching it with you. Watching it with you. God, if he only knew me. If he only knew me. If he...
I know that you find that hard to believe. God is watching porn with you, he says. Like I said, I'm not even going to repeat the rest of what he was saying. Oh, yeah, he is a reprobate. Who talks like that? Who would talk like that in a church? Who talks like that? These people, they have too much. They have too much money. They have too much time on their hands. And all it goes to their head. It makes them crazy. And then they think they can get up in a church and they call that preaching a sermon? They say God is watching pornography with you? Oh. No. Please. Anybody that listens to Todd White, please don't listen to him anymore. Turn him off. Take up a petition to get him to put him on a long sabbatical until he gets some help. That is sick. Just sick in the head. That's it. I don't know why people don't get up and walk out of these so-called churches. After he said that, people should have just got up and walked out, and that would have been the end of it. Because I saw it happen at Paula White's church when she took over what was New Destiny Christian Center there in Apopka after Zachary Timms died. Now, Zachary Timms, you could go on YouTube and look at his videos. He had thousands of people in that building. Oh, I think they had 8,000 members at one time in that church, but you could see the crowds. The place was wall-to-wall people. I mean, they were packed in like sardines. Paula White, I was there a couple of times. I drove over there on a Sunday. She hardly had any people there. She cleaned the place out. Why did she clean the place out? Because she told people to watch porn. She was baptizing babies. She was doing all kinds of things over there. So people started leaving in droves. They started clearing the place out. Why Todd White still has a congregation is beyond me, because if you look at his videos, he looks like he still has a pretty good crowd there. But after that comment, I hope some people got up and walked out and decided, that's it, I'm not coming back here anymore. I've seen it as far as Paula White's concerned, where if she's got a couple hundred, 200 or 400 people left, I would be surprised if she even has that many people there, because she brags that God told her she's going to shake nations, but she can't shake a popka. She can't even shake a popka over there. I don't know how you're going to shake nations if you practically cleared the place out over there in a popka. No, nobody's flocking to see you. But let's hear the word, and then we'll talk about John Gray and Jerry Falwell Jr. What a big mess over there. Oh, dear. I mean, it got uglier and uglier. I never thought he was going to resign. But after the last set of revelations that came out, that was it. He didn't have a choice if he wanted his $10 million severance pay or whatever. Oh, yeah, his retirement. So anyway, let's listen to Galatians 5.
Chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, the latest news, and it was shocking. I think that we probably all were shocked when the news came out, because Jerry Falwell Jr., I guess he just was so arrogant that, remember, he posted those pictures. He actually posted those pictures on Instagram of him with his zipper down and his stomach hanging out, and then his wife's assistant with her zipper down and her stomach hanging out. He actually posted that picture for he was so arrogant. I don't know, like, you know, was he trying to brag to the whole world about what a pervert he turned out to be? Because that's what it seems like now. But I figured he would probably get away with the scandal that came around posting those pictures, and they put him on a leave of absence. But then it was like boom, boom, boom. Then more things started coming out. Oh, my word. And I know a friend of mine, one time we were talking about Jerry Falwell bringing Paula White and her husband over there to Liberty. And he was endorsing her. Oh, he was bragging on her, what a woman of God she was. And personally, I thought that was very strange, because I'm saying to myself, now this man comes from a very well-known family, and he brings Paula White there to speak to his students at a convocation. Wow, there was thousands of students there that day, and he brings Paula White there, and he says that she's a woman of God. I'm thinking to myself, what is this guy, what's going on here? Because she's not a woman of God. And anyway, I was having my doubts about Jerry Falwell Jr. And I noticed that this week, of course, if you remember Larry Flint from Hustler magazine, and of course, we know how that magazine was, but Larry Flint had a lawsuit. Jerry Falwell Sr. sued Larry Flint because he was publishing some things about his mother, which he didn't like. And they were going round and round at each other for a while. But then Jerry Falwell Sr. wound up forgiving Larry Flint, and they became friends. And so Larry Flint put this article out after the Junior scandal. And he says, well, if Jesus ever comes back to earth, and I'll have to get the exact quote from you because it was a great quote. He said that he'd probably be very upset with all the false teachers and the money changers and whatever that have disparaged his name. And I thought, well, I mean, that's a pretty good statement coming from somebody like Larry Flint, when even he can see the hypocrisy. And he points out people like Paula White and Jerry Falwell Jr. and a number of other people, and they know they're phonies, and yet the so-called body of Christ can't figure it out. Anyway, it was priceless, but you know, he's a good one to pray for. So let's listen to the first news story here about the latest news that came out about Falwell.
Giancarlo Granda is speaking out. In a statement to NBC News, Granda says the Falwells would have you believe that I seduced Becky into an affair without Jerry's knowledge and then spent the intervening 7 years trying to extort them. Of course, the truth is they approached me. She invited me to their hotel room. Granda adding that as recently as last year, they participated in video calls where Mrs. Falwell was naked and Jerry was watching. Granda also calling Jerry Falwell Jr. a predator, alleging Falwell sent him an image of a Liberty University student exposing herself at their farm, calling it inappropriate conduct for someone overseeing the well-being of thousands of vulnerable and impressionable students. According to Reuters, the couple met Granda when he was 20 years old, working as a pool attendant at a Miami hotel. Just days after the story went public, Jerry Falwell Jr. is out as president and chancellor of Liberty University, the institution his father started in the 1970s. Falwell acknowledged his wife's affair with Granda to the Washington Examiner, calling it a fatal attraction-type situation that led to extortion, but said he was not involved in the inappropriate personal relationship. Granda denies blackmailing the Falwells. In her first comments about the scandal, Becky Falwell tells the Associated Press she and her husband are more in love than ever, adding, "We have the strongest relationship, and Jerry is the most forgiving person I've ever met." In the same interview, Jerry Falwell claims he never broke a single rule that applies to staff members at Liberty, saying, "That's the only reason I resigned, because I don't want something my wife did to harm the school I've spent my whole life building." Falwell had been on an indefinite leave of absence from Liberty since early August after posting this now deleted photo on social media. In a statement Monday night, the school said additional matters came to light that made it clear that it would not be in the best interest of the university for him to return from leave. On Tuesday, the university said it had accepted Falwell's resignation, effective immediately, while offering heartfelt prayers to the Falwells, who are now dealing with a very public fall from grace.
Jerry Falwell Jr. has not been reachable on this latest allegation. As for Granda, he also tells us he has not intended to profit from telling this story.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see if there isn't a book and a movie. Anyway, Liberty University now has hired a forensic accountant to delve into the financial dealings of Falwell Jr., because this guy that was having an affair with his wife, they bought a youth hostel in Miami, and they gave this guy, I think, like a quarter share in this $4.5 million building. Now, why were they giving this guy like $1 million, a million dollar share in this building? Oh, dear. And were they trying to buy his silence or stay in his good graces? Anyway, we'll see how this thing winds up turning out. But anyway, here's more to the story.
That scandal that has rocked Liberty University and its evangelical leader, Jerry Falwell Jr. A former pool attendant, Giancarlo Granda, calls Falwell a predator, saying he engaged in sexual liaisons with Falwell's wife while Falwell watched. We'll talk with Granda in an exclusive interview. First, Deborah Roberts brings us the latest on the scandal and a second allegation that emerged overnight from a former student at Liberty. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, George. Yeah, this is a scandal that seems to grow deeper and wider by the day for a man who was once at the top of his game in Christian conservative circles. Now, Jerry Falwell Jr. is not only out at the world's top Christian university, but he may have also lost his reputation as well.
This morning, that new allegation about the Falwells, coming from a former Liberty University student providing an anonymous account in Politico, alleging he had a sexual encounter with Becky Falwell, the wife of the school's former president, Jerry Falwell Jr., while he was a 22-year-old. The Falwells called the allegation false and mean-spirited. It is the latest in a shocking string of scandals to hit one of the most influential families in the evangelical conservative movement.
As our friendship has grown, so has my admiration for Mr. Trump.
A staunch advocate in Republican politics and for President Trump, Falwell resigned from the college following a series of stunning developments. First, a racy photo he posted, then took down from social media with his arm around his wife's assistant. He apologized for posting it, saying it was just in good fun from a costume party. Then, that first jaw-dropping allegation of sexual impropriety that directly goes against the school's strict moral code.
We are so proud of our students here at Liberty, and it's just such an honor to be able to serve alongside them. And we try to teach good family values and good morals.
Falwell accused by his 29-year-old former business partner, Giancarlo Granda, of being aware of and even observing Granda's affair with Falwell's wife, Becky, though Falwell denies any involvement.
Grunda says he met the Falwells when he was a 20-year-old pool attendant in 2012, and their relationship took off from there, lasting years. He provided this audio recording as proof.
His new thing is, like, killing me every time he hooks up with people. Like, I don't have feelings or something.
You don't make a joke.
Yeah.
Not trying to do that.
Grunda says he vacationed with the Falwells, even went into business with them, owning a Miami youth hostel. In this email shared exclusively with ABC News, Grunda says Falwell offered a glowing recommendation for him to apply to Georgetown University in 2018, calling him a quick study on all business-related matters, consistent, dependable, and someone who has operated with the highest business ethics and integrity. But the relationship later soured. Now the Falwells are accusing Grunda of extortion, claiming he threatened to go public with the affair unless he was paid millions. But Grunda denies that allegation. Overnight, the Falwells declining to comment on Grunda's allegations.
Falwell has reached out to numerous news organizations over the last week, including ABC News, and so is his wife, Becky, both vigorously denying most of Grunda's claim. They both say that they're victims of a man who tried to take advantage of them. No word yet from the couple on this newest allegation. George?
Okay, Deb, thanks very much. Let's bring in Giancarlo Grunda right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. Let's begin with their denial. They say that you had an affair with Mrs. Falwell, but that Jerry Falwell Jr. was not involved in any way. But you say from the start they were both involved?
First off, thank you for having me on. And Jerry's lying. That was his game plan from the beginning, to just throw her under the bus, which I think speaks a lot about who he is, about his character. And he was aware from day one of our relationship, and he did, in fact, watch.
So how would that work? Describe the encounters.
So let's go back to when I first met them. I was 20 years old, working at the Fontainebleau Hotel, working my way through college. And, you know, I'm talking to some guests, and I noticed this woman behind me staring at me, and she was noticeably drunk. And she was just flirting with me. You know, and then we started flirting back and forth. And then towards the end of my work shift, she's like, hey, would you want to go back to my hotel room? And as a single 20-year-old, I'm like, yeah, of course. And then she's like, but my husband wants to watch. And immediately I thought it was a bit strange, and I backed off. She's like, oh, no, but he's not going to do anything. He's just going to sit in the corner, and he just wants to watch, and it's his thing. And she mentioned that they were actually at a swingers club the night before, Miami Velvet. But it wasn't their thing. They said it was kind of gross because there's too many people, and they wanted a more intimate session.
Oh, dear. Oh, unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. I know a friend of mine, he told me that months ago. He said, I think they're swingers. No, I didn't have any proof. I didn't have any evidence that they were swingers at all. So, and this young man says that, but of course he's going to have to produce evidence too, because now these are allegations that he's making. But he says that he has screenshots, and he has more evidence to prove his claims. So basically it's a he said, she said right now between him and the Falwells. But let's listen to the rest of his story here.
Giancarlo Grunda is speaking.
So I had no idea who they were at the time. You know, after my work shift, they called me through a blocked number to schedule where to meet, and we met at another hotel. And I walk into the lobby, and, you know, Becky's sitting there waiting for me, and we were both nervous at the time. And then she offered me whiskey to relax, to calm my nerves. We talked for a bit, I relaxed, and then we went upstairs, and Jerry was laying on the bed. He was laying on the bed, he was drunk, and he was giggling. And, again, I'm kind of weirded out at this moment. And I said, hey, if at any point you get jealous or you want me to back off, just let me know, and I'll walk out of here. He's like, no, just go for it.
And
so
this would then happen
on
other occasions as well? And what would he be doing?
Right. I mean, I don't want to go too much into the details. I don't want to go too much into the details, but he enjoyed watching.
They say now that you're trying to extort them. Why come forward now? This started 7 years ago.
So again, going back to that time, after that Fontainebleau or the hotel, that first night, shortly after we had a weekend getaway at Chico Resort in the Florida Keys. And in this trip, we were doing our, the nature of the relationship continued there. And, I mentioned to them that when I was younger, right, when I was in high school, I suffered with video game addiction. At the time I was timid, been nervous, and I believe, now in hindsight, that they spotted these weaknesses and made me an ideal target. I shared, this passion project of mine where it's a company that would connect video gamers suffering with video game addiction and families with health coaches. And he's like, oh, I think that's an excellent idea. And, actually you could probably partner up with Liberty. You should come to New York with us. We're having a business trip and we could talk more about it. And then in this trip in New York City, we stayed at the Gansevoort Hotel on Park Avenue. And he said, look, I really like your idea. But before you can ever help anyone, you need to make a lot of money yourself. So I have and this is Jerry saying, he's like, I have a background in real estate. Pick a property in Miami. Pick a handful of properties. We'll get the best one, and you'll get a 25% ownership stake in it. And that's exactly what I did.
They suggest you targeted them and that you may have targeted other successful women?
That's false. That's ridiculous. That's just them trying to smear me. I think it's kind of ridiculous to think that this 20-year-old with not many resources, I don't come from a family of a lot of money, was targeting and preying upon this power couple that have all the political connections and all the money in the world. I feel like I was an ideal target for them.
President Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, is claiming that he had contact with your attorney about personal photos of the Falwells that they didn't want released publicly. Did you or your lawyers ever speak with Michael Cohen about the Falwells? What do you know about the photos and the Falwells' relationship with Michael Cohen?
Well, Michael Cohen corrected himself, and he actually said that he met the attorney of a third party that was suing us. There was a demand letter where they were threatening to expose the nature of this relationship. And that's, the best of my knowledge, that's what went on. And I'll never forget it. Winter 2014, around November, December, Becky called me and she's like, hey, that lawsuit in Florida, those guys that are suing us, don't worry about it. Michael Cohen's going to take care of it, something to that effect. And I had no idea who he was. I didn't know him. I'm like, okay, all right, great. We don't have to worry about this. Because again, they were threatening to reveal the nature of this relationship, and I lived through hell that time. It was a nightmare. So that's all I have to say about that.
What do you want to happen now?
I've been wanting to cut ties. Again, I have an equity stake in the company, which they offered. I have an equity stake in the company. It has value, and I want to cut ties. And within the operating agreement, there's a selling mechanism. I have every right to want to sell my equity stake. I just want to cut ties. That's all I ever wanted to do. I never asked for more than what was promised to me. And Jerry himself memorialized this offer through text messages.
One final question. You also alleged that Jerry Falwell Jr. sent you a compromising photo of a Liberty University student. He says the photo was a friend of his daughter-in-law, not sexual in any way. What do you say to that, and what can you tell us about the photo?
Look, I don't know the context of the photo. All I know is that I was with him and Becky at a hotel in Miami Beach at the Lowe's Hotel. We were having drinks. They ordered me drinks. We were having drinks, and then he sent me the picture. And I tried to act cool about it. I didn't want to overreact, but I immediately thought it was bizarre, considering the nature of our relationship. And at that moment, I'm like, huh, something more is going on here. I don't like this. But I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to do. But again, I don't know the context behind it. And whatever explanation you get, it's fine. That doesn't matter. The point is, it's why did he have that picture? Why did he share it? And why was he joking about it? He publicly said that he was joking about it. I think that should raise some questions.
Giancarlo Granda, thanks for your time this morning.
No, thank you.
Well, I guess we'll see how this all works out, because God is merciful to people, and he gives people space to repent. And if they don't repent, then he will expose you. He will expose you. So these people that think they can get away with things and they can have ministries, and they can have universities, and they can have television programs, and they think they can lead a secret life, and that they won't be found out. Well, God says in his word that your sin will find you out. So you're going to be exposed. And whenever you sin with another person, two people know about it. So you might keep it a secret, but then when the other person decides that they want to cash in or whatever, then they will expose you. So it's all quite alarming. You heard the young man say, yes, they gave him a 25% stake in this multi-million dollar youth hostel, so they were paying him off for his favors. Oh dear, it's a very sordid tale. And the wife saying that we're more in love than ever. Oh, please, who would want a marriage like that? And how did that marriage ever get so perverted? But of course, a lot of these things, like I said, are allegations, and they'll need to be proven, which I'm sure eventually either they're going to pay this guy off if he does decide to file a lawsuit, and they might just settle it out of court to keep it out of the public. But there's probably other people that are going to come forward when, especially when people smell cash. When they think to themselves, well, wow, I don't have anything and they have all these millions, so I might as well cash in. I might as well get in on it while the getting's good. So I expect that there'll probably be a lot more to this story as the days and the weeks go on. And the Bible says that, I think it's in Proverbs, that once you, a man that commits adultery, he'll never be able to live down his shame. And you can't, it's hard, very hard to get back your reputation. Very hard. Once your reputation is ruined, that thing stays with you. And we know that when we look at Jimmy Swaggart, and for all Jimmy Swaggart had at one time, when you look at him now, you can't forget what he did. So of course God has forgiven him and he's moved on, but you still can't forget it. When you think about Jimmy Swaggart and you look at Jimmy Swaggart, you think about what he did. And he was another one that couldn't control himself. And the Bible says that we're supposed to use temperance and we have to practice self-control, because it's so easy for things to get out of hand. And before you know it, you can't come back. And that's what happened to the Falwells, is they started stepping out and doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they couldn't come back from it. It went on and on and on. And who knows? He probably has plenty of cash stashed away, I would imagine. Yes, they do have offshore accounts. And I don't know for sure that he has one. I'm just saying I know that other ministries have had these offshore accounts. And so they stash money away. But even though he's getting a $10 million payout, if he has to start paying out all these lawsuits, which I'm sure there'll be more, we'll see what happens to his fortune. But it's quite sad. Anyway, I wanted to share this quote from Larry Flint, which I thought was very interesting, because he says, if there were ever to be a second coming of Jesus Christ, I have no doubt that his first order of business would be picking up a whip and brandishing forever all the hucksters and false prophets who have perverted his message. Oh, that's funny. Anyway. Dear Lord, help us. But it's like, I guess, as much as these things, it kind of goes along with what's happening in the world, and then we see these things happening in the church, or the false church. I guess you would have to say it's the false church, because God does have a remnant people, and we try to stand up for the truth. And it's so important to do it. It's so important to stand up for what's right, no matter what comes our way. And so we just have to stay faithful to the gospel. But let me play a couple of these John Gray audios. But John Gray was caught committing adultery, was a year or so ago. And so nothing really happened to him. He didn't lose his television program. I think Oprah took him off her network, but he still was at the Osteen's church. And I noticed that even after this scandal, which he was calling this young woman, I didn't want to play her audio because it's too, you don't even want to hear it really, but he was calling this young woman who was a friend of her, John Gray was a friend of her brother's, and the brother's wife died, so John came to the funeral, I think, or he was calling him to console him, and then he saw her, the sister, and then he called her, somehow he got her phone number or something, or he asked for her phone number, and then he started calling her, and he was making suggestions of a sexual nature to her, and then he was inviting her to come to his house, and then he was saying things about his wife that he shouldn't be saying. No man has any business telling another woman things about his wife, and you shouldn't listen anyway. I mean, if some man is trying to commit adultery and he starts telling you things about his wife, I would be like, I don't want to hear about your wife, you know, talk to your wife about it. So don't tell me. Anyway, the girl didn't follow through. She decided that she wasn't going to have anything to do with that mess. But so he gets found out, and then he makes these, and I think he's still pastoring this church that it belonged to the Carpenters, Ron and Hope Carpenter, which, you know, they're two shysters anyway. But so Ron has been trying to get this church back from John, and John won't leave. So they've been going back and forth with lawsuits. And anyway, I think he's still there, even after these new allegations came out. And then I saw him on television the other night at Joel Osteen's. So they haven't taken him off the air, which he needs. That's it. Sit down, go away, get some help, because the disgusting things that he was saying to this young girl. Oh, please. Oh. And so the only way they're going to learn their lesson is if the body of Christ decides, look, go away for a while, get yourself some help, and then come back. But don't go making these pornographic phone calls to women, and then you're going to stand up there and you're going to start preaching, and you're going to be preaching on television, and you don't have any, there's no consequences. You're still getting your big salary. Your wife is still driving her Lamborghini. You're still living in that million-dollar mansion. No, there has to be some consequences. Otherwise, why should they stop? What's the incentive for him to stop? He's still going to get a paycheck, still going to live in that big fancy house. And the last time I think he cheated on his wife, he bought her this Lamborghini, a $200,000 Lamborghini. I don't know what she's going to get now, because I was saying to a friend of mine, she should leave, really. She shouldn't stay married to this guy. But he said, well, she likes the perks, which is probably true. She likes what goes along with this man, although I don't know how much longer it's going to last. But if Joel Osteen doesn't do anything about it, it's like, okay, why are you still playing his program? You shouldn't be playing his television program. Nobody should be seeing him for a while until he gets some help, because obviously he's got some serious psychiatric issues for him to be saying the things that he's saying to women. And please, anyway, Here's the first audio from John Gray.
Give a bit of context and clarity around the message that you're about to receive. Over the past days, there have been any number of stories in blogs and social media about me. And I believe that the body of Christ and those who are leaders are to be held to a higher standard according to Scripture. And a part of today's message speaks to those places that have been swirling. I want to make it clear that though my conversational and emotional breaches are wrong, this was not physical or sexual. I've only ever been with one woman, that is my wife. But the areas where I have missed the mark do not absolve me of responsibility. But I wanted to give you context and clarity so that you can receive this message the way God intends for it to be received. It is my prayer that God would allow your heart to be open, your spiritual ears to be attentive to what he's saying to the church. Let my life be an example to you of how God wants integrity and holiness to be the calling cards of his leaders. I love you. I honor you today for loving me, for walking with me, not only in therapy, but for the insight that you've given me to begin to do the work as we have been doing for some time now, but to continue in that process. Thank you, Aventer. I love and honor you, and I thank God for you and our children. To the Relentless Church, may the very best days of our church be in front of us, because they are certainly not behind us. God bless you. Now let's go to church.
Let's go to church, he says. Oh, he's telling his wife, oh, I love you and honor. Yeah, you love her and honor her while you're saying these things on the phone to these other women. Oh, please stop. And then he just, let's go to church. Like, nothing's happened. Years ago, back in the 80s when these things happened, when they found out about Jim Baker and they found out about Jimmy Swaggart. Well, no, the Assembly of God at the time, they took action. Look, you have to take some time off. Of course, they didn't. Jimmy Swaggart didn't take much time off. I think he just dropped out of the Assemblies of God and he didn't really want to be restored. He didn't want their discipline. So it sounds the same with John Gray. He just wants to carry on where he left off, but no way. Anyway, here's another audio from him.
Hey, to you, Relentless Church, to the body of Christ, to those who have looked to me as an example of leadership and pastoral oversight, I want to take this moment to tell you I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the areas of my life that I left unattended, that I was apathetic about, the areas where I have treated the calling of God, the grace of God, and the hand of God casually in my life. For every area of behavior that has dishonored the holiness of God, I want to tell you, I'm sorry. There have been a number of things in blogs, some of them accurate, some of it not, but all of it my responsibility. I apologize for putting the name of God in harm's way. And I alone, take the responsibility for the actions that harmed and injured God's sheep. No matter how many pseudo excuses one can hurl in a moment like this for the purposes of self-preservation, all of them ring hollow when all that is truly needed is the truth. My prayer for you in this moment is that you will use the discernment of the Holy Spirit to see if this is remorse or repentance.
I have learned that remorse simply means I'm sad because you found out. Repentance is I'm sorrowful and I will change. For as long as I can remember about my life, I always felt that something was wrong. Particularly when I said yes to God at 13 years old. For the past 34 years, reconciling the humanity of the man versus the divinity of God. And I've asked God over and over, why did you choose me? Why do you use me? I didn't ask for this. You raised me up. And I told you, I'm not the one. I told you, I got all of this stuff. I've been praying for years. And my answers never come. But I pray for others and you answer them right away. Why did you raise me up if you knew that I was going to miss it? And in the process of trying to serve you, my humanity would explode from behind the facade of religious perfection. Why am I in this moment? And God says, this is the process whereby which you will learn two things about me. There is nothing about you that has occurred to me. I knew who you were before I chose you. And number two, I love you too much to let you live a lie.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, look, God, why did you do this to me? First of all, he says, God, why did you raise me up? Maybe God didn't raise him up. Maybe he raised himself up, obviously. And even with this lawsuit with Ron Carpenter, and they're trying to get him out of this church that really does belong to them, and they had some kind of an agreement with him. I haven't looked at the court documents recently to see what's been going back and forth, but anyway, they wanted him out of the church, and he won't leave. And so that's a problem. And it's not God's fault, because when anybody has a problem with pornography, which obviously that's probably one of his problems, you have to practice self-control. What's God going to do? Come and tie your hands up and put a blindfold over your eyes? And no, he's not going to do that. It's up to you to practice self-control. And anybody could stray. So it could happen to anybody. But the thing is, it's our responsibility to practice self-control. And God gives us that ability. So why is he asking God, like, oh, why aren't you fixing me? Yeah, well, God can fix you. But God wants to fix you, but you have to help him fix you, because you have to want to be fixed. And for a man to be pastoring a church, and then you're making phone calls to other women and making sexual innuendos, who's going to feel comfortable around that kind of a man? I certainly am not going to want that man to be pastoring me. So there goes this whole ridiculous teaching that people have about you need a covering and you have to submit to this man like he's God or something. No, they are human beings and they are frail. And Jesus Christ is our covering. This man has all kinds of coverings, yet he can't control himself when he sees another woman that he lusts after. And he can say all he wants that, oh, I've never been physically. He won't even admit to that. He says, I haven't been physically with another woman. I've only been with my wife. Well, the Bible says, even if you look at a woman to lust, you've committed adultery. So stop your lying. Stop your lying. Stop trying to make excuses about your behavior. He won't even admit to his own shortcomings. He's still trying to be a player. So, you know, sit him down and that's it. We don't want to see you for a while. Just go away, take a long vacation and get your head screwed on straight before you're going to go and pastor a church when there's women in the church that really shouldn't be around you. I certainly wouldn't want to be over there, that's for sure. But there's all kinds of problems, let me tell you. There's all kinds of problems going on, but we just have to try to stay strong in these days that we're living in. After we're just seeing one thing coming at us, one thing after another. And if it's not social unrest, political unrest, upheaval, all kinds of things going on in these false religious systems and these false churches, but we have to be on the lookout, and we have to know for ourselves how we're going to stay strong in these days and stay close to God and cry out for mercy. God, please have mercy on us, because I'm not ready for the Antichrist. Let me tell you, I'm not ready. I am not ready. And we're just seeing so many signs all around us. And it's kind of frightening. But then again, I say to myself, well, God's in control of this whole thing. So no matter what happens, my life belongs to him. How much longer is he going to keep us here? And how much more are we going to have to go through things that we never thought we were going to see ever in our lifetime? Did we ever think that we were going to be walking around with a mask on our face ever? And then everywhere you look, everybody's got a mask on. You look on television, the news reporters have masks on. Did we ever think that we were going to see the world the way it is now? Never. We never thought we were going to see this. We never thought that we were going to go out and have to worry about catching some kind of a virus, some plague that somebody unleashed on the earth, and God only knows who did it. Who unleashed this thing on the whole world? So, saints, let's try to stay strong in the days ahead. God, help us and have mercy on us. Amen. But the most important thing today is for people that are listening, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, we as believers, we know that we have our faith and our confidence in him to keep us no matter what we have to go through. But maybe you don't have that confidence, but you can ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life today and ask him to forgive you of your sins, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you must confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and ask him to come into your life and change your life forever. And he will. He will give you a brand new life. And no matter what you've done in the past, he can forgive you and he can help you and give you the strength to overcome any temptation. God loves you. He loved you enough to send his son to die for you. So no matter what you see going on with other people, remember, God's not going to ask you about anybody else when your time is up. He's going to ask you about your life. So whatever some other, everybody, Deanna, Brother Vince and Shannon, everybody that's been in the chat room today, God bless you. And thank you for stopping in. All our listeners around the world, thank you all for being with us, and we appreciate you for tuning in. Stay strong. In the name of the-